Apologize, I have a commitment elsewhere at the moment, but again, I will be participating on the briefs in this matter. Justice Miller Lerman will preside, and give me a moment to get in and out of the courtroom. Do we have anyone arguing on the other side?
I don't believe that.
If that is the case, I will remain. I do have time to listen to you, Mr. Hing, and I will preside. You may proceed.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, Madam Davis, may it please the court. My name is Pat Hing. I'm an attorney in the North Platte Law Firm, Waite McLaw and Hing. We represent the appellants, Dave and Candace Schilke, in this matter. This is, unfortunately, one of the cases where friendships and family and handshakes and things get together and people do much informal things and come around, and unfortunately lawyers and courts end up looking at what happened. The Schilkes are residents of Chase County, Nebraska. This matter was brought in Lincoln County. They're adding to their residence in rural Chase County when friends of theirs said their son-in-law was getting into the construction business and went there and kind of had a bid, had some plans drawn up, and arranged a situation where he started the construction. Needless to say, it went bad, ended up in two separate litigations, the one in Lincoln County, which involves some countertop or tile or marble countertop, as well as a much bigger litigation in Chase County regarding the entire house. Unfortunately, Mr. Nielsen, as the court knows, had filed bankruptcy, which I think probably leads to why other counsel is not here. And Mr. Kelly, I believe, the trustee, Scott's Bluff, has entered an appearance on behalf of Nielsen as part of this judgment being an asset of the bankruptcy estate. So from his standpoint, talking to him, that's probably why he's not here, really, other than having the judgment, wasn't really participated in this matter.
I beg your pardon, is there a bankruptcy ongoing with respect to a named party?
With Nielsen, yes. Jared Nielsen filed bankruptcy. We were scheduled for our argument a while ago, and then that stayed. And then Chief Justice asked for why we shouldn't have this argument at this point in time, and the bankruptcy trustee indicated at this point in time that we could proceed, and so that's why we're moving on at this time.
Thank you.
Anyway, we end up having a trial on the matter over some countertop that Blodorn Construction, the plaintiff in this matter, had supplied to defendant Nielsen. Defendant Nielsen, with the direction of Candace Schilke, went out and picked some countertop on. It's a special kind where you have to laser it and measure it before you get it. And basically was told it had to be prepaid for prior to it being installed. I think if the court sees a record, there's a number of payments over $100,000 of payments made by the Schilkes to Nielsen. It became apparent after the parties terminated that relationship that Nielsen had not paid Blodorn for that countertop. Blodorn then filed a construction lien. Both Blodorn and Nielsen filed construction liens in Chase County. Discussions go on, and eventually litigation is instituted in Lincoln County by Blodorn suing both Nielsen and the Schilkes under the theory of an account stated, I believe, as well as unjust enrichment. Judge Rowland, after trial, ruled that as to between Blodorn and the Schilkes, there was no contractual relationship on the account. Further, under the unjust enrichment argument, the fact that they had started the process by filing construction lien, they had a remedy available under the statute to allow the collection of the debt that they were claiming in that matter. Blodorn got a construction against Nielsen for the amount claimed on the countertop. And then between the parties, defendant parties, Schilkes had alleged that they had paid Nielsen, and he was unjustly enriched, as well as fraud. And Nielsen countered back to the Schilkes saying that they were unjustly enriched. Judge Erbaum granted judgment for Nielsen against the Schilkes under the theory of unjust enrichment. And so we come before the court today on the appeal twofold with regard to the argument on unjust enrichment is, one, there's a contract between these two parties, and I guess it's been, as far as I've been practicing law, if there's a contract of any type, then the theory of unjust enrichment is unavailable. And in this case, in the contract, if you look at the pleadings, they plead an oral contract, but if you look at the construction lien they filed, I believe Exhibit 9, it indicates there is a contract. They state the date of the contract, and that's why they filed the construction lien, because they had a Nielsen's and Schilke's had a contract. So the position today is that the theory of unjust enrichment should have never been reached by the district court against the Schilke's.
That was brought to the district court's attention.
Pardon?
That was brought to the district court's attention.
The construction lien?
No, the your argument, unavailability of unjust enrichment.
The argument, I don't know if they're recorded or not, but I don't recall whether the argument was made. I know we briefed the matter later on from that standpoint. I think from a standpoint of our position and the pleading, that was, I think we paid Nielsen the money. And I think that they go through, I think over the last couple months he was there, there was over $90,000 paid. It was believed everything was paid at the time she left, or it was our understanding we had paid everything the Nielsens were owed. And so this kind of came up after the fact. So that argument had been made, as well as the fact that they have the statutory construction lien foreclosure proceeding, which they bailed themselves by filing the construction lien. And I think, as Judge Rowland's indicated with regard to Glodorn, I think the same argument is pertinent to Nielsen as well, because again, the theory of unjust enrichment kind of encapsulates that there's something happened, there's no other theory, legal or otherwise, statutory, that provides relief. And in this case, they have the contract, which they allege they have, which provides relief. They have these construction lien statutes, which they filed, which provides relief as well. And all this, I guess, if you can see in Judge Rowland's order, it's acknowledged we have this other litigation between Nielsen and Schilke's out in Chase County over the construction of this same home. And so from our standpoint, I think our brief is really limited to the fact that we thought unjust enrichment was an appropriate rationale for the judgment, given the availability of something contract, legal, as well as statutory, the construction lien.
What does the record show about what the terms of the contract were?
Then that's kind of my introductory is very informal. I think the parties understood, I think if you look at the pleadings from a standpoint of what Nielsen pleads in the counterclaim, is they have an oral contract. I think the agreement or the bid and then the proposal as it amends in those first couple of exhibits indicate that there's an understanding of what was going to happen. I think both Nielsen's and Schilke's understood they were working under obviously a contract, be it oral or that written contract, but a contract of some sort. And as I said, the construction, I guess they under oath indicate they're operating under a contract as well.
Is there anything in the record that indicates to us that the parties reached an agreement about what the payment terms were going to be?
These folks were operating in kind of an informal arrangement, and as you can see with the payment history, you know, he'd be submitting some invoices, she'd just cut a check, a big round number. After they parted, I think Mr. Nielsen's wife approached him, who was a family friend as well, indicated they still owed money, and they cut some other checks, I think $60,000 after the relationship had been terminated. So that was a kind of informal, I think, as to a solid, stone-cold contract, written contract, or terms are out there. I don't believe you'll find that. I think it's as such where you have a situation the parties thought they were under agreement at all points in time. So.
Your third assignment of error says the trial court erred in finding in favor of Appley Nielsen and against the appellants Schilke's under the theory of unjust enrichment when there existed a contract between the parties which is a separate pending litigation. Can you explain what you mean by that last phrase, which is a separate pending litigation?
Well, that same contract, this same relationship was what's in Chase County. There's a couple $100,000 lawsuit that was filed there.
Is the breach of contract action with respect to the countertops at issue in Chase County, or is that Chase County just everything else?
That is how it played out, I think. Judge Rowland indicated he would just hear what Glodorn had sued upon in Lincoln County, and the parties agreed as well, not just Judge Rowland, but the attorneys, Nielsen's attorney and myself agreed as well. Yeah, we have a several day trial that's going to eventually happen. As the court knows, I moved to change venue early on for that reason, and it was denied, and so we kind of then, tailored it to what we had in Lincoln County as compared to what was going on in Chase County.
But the error you're assigning is the fact that the district court relied on an unjust enrichment remedy at all when there was a contract.
That's exactly right. And I think that my next assignment of error and some of the case law that kind of follows that rationale. And if that's it, I'm done. Thank you for staying.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
With that, the court is adjourned and all of you are excused.
Thank you.